Welcome to Ozark's Haints and Hooch.
This ain't no fancy, academic,
check your references kind of deal.
We are two sisters from the Ozarks,
sipping and spewing about Haints, Hooch, and history.
Everybody, welcome to Ozark's Haints and Hooch. I'm Dawn, and I'm here with Dina.
Hello.
There she is.
I'm here.
Yep, we're not together. Let's see. Dina's got the big story today, and it is day here in South Carolina and in the Ozarks. And so that leaves me to do all the technical stuff. Let's see. So yeah, we're in two different states, but not forever. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. So yay. We have, so we're sorry. I've got the door open. I don't know. Elvis was howling a while ago, but maybe he's sitting in the window. Spring has sprung here in South Carolina, like big time. Like the azaleas are out, the dogwoods are out. It's really beautiful. And so is the pine pollen. So there's a yellow, you know, it's like pine winter. I mean, there's a yellow film all over everything. But I went out this morning and actually burned sticks and mowed my backyard, so here I am smelling like a fire and drinking our cocktail, which I'll talk about in a minute. We have Facebook, Instagram. Please come see us there. Give us ideas for shows. We're on every podcast platform, I think, that there is. And so when you find us, please subscribe and give us all the stars or thumbs up or whatever. We attempt to release on the 1st and 15th of the month. We have a Patreon, and we want to thank all of our patrons. I mean, honestly, it's really helpful. We're just about to break even, Dina. Yay.
Yay.
Because, you know, it costs money to have somebody out there in the cloud or whatever save your old episodes. And so thank you, people. We have a website, ozarkshaintsnhooch.weebly.com. And I think that's it. Can I rant for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, let me just say, fucking, if you people out there with gasoline-powered leaf blowers, I want to kill you. So my neighbor, remember I used to talk about the neighbor who was the peeping Tom when I had the cattle tank swimming pool?
Yeah.
He is out every day with a leaf blower. And I don't mean for 15, 20 minutes. I mean for an hour. He has, we've even told the guy he rents from, he's leaf blown so much that he has leaf blown the top layer of topsoil off those people's property. And it's like, no wonder nothing grows there. He is out every day. It's driving me crazy. Because when the days get pretty like this, I want to open my door. And so you open my door and all you hear is
Yeah.
Oh my God. So I used the leaf blower today, but I did it at 11 o'clock and I did it for 15 minutes. I probably not even that long. It's probably 10 minutes. I blew off the porch. I blew off the deck. And that's it. So anyway, I'm sorry. I smell like a fire. I look terrible. Good thing this isn't.
We can't smell you. I can see you and she doesn't look terrible. But I can't smell her. So we're good there.
Smell a vision or thank God video, because it's bad today.
Yeah. Yes, okay. The spring has also sprung in Missouri and it's sprung in my sinuses.
Oh, has it really? Is stuff
coming? Yeah. Yeah, the red bud is blooming.
Oh.
And I can't breathe through my nose for a week now. So
oh, sorry. That pine
it's supposed pollen, to rain tomorrow, though.
That pine pollen is too big. Like, there is yellow over, they call it spring snow here. There's yellow all over everything, but the actual pollen things are too big. So that's not what makes you crazy. But you know, I'm still wearing a mask, man, because I will tell you, I had to go to a conference last week, which, oh my God, I could rant about that for hours. But and I was really careful. If I was in a big crowd, I wore a mask. People looked at me funny. I didn't care. I totally was the only person with a mask on any plane I took. So coming back, I'm sitting in the Charlotte airport, and of course, everybody's coming back from spring break except me, who's been at a conference, which was not pleasant. But all the other professors are coming back. We're all flying into Florence, and one of the professors sits down by me to say, "Oh, what'd you do?" "I've been to Mexico." And I'm like, "Yeah, I went to a conference." And then the next day, he's like, "I have COVID." And I was like, "Oh, no." But at least I wasn't in a car with him. The other professors gave him a ride home. So anyway, knock on wood, I did not get it. I did not get it. But boy, that taught me something about letting my guard down. You know, I should have had my mask on in the airport with a bunch of germy people, but I didn't. I don't even know where I was going with that. Okay, so the drink, honest to God, okay, I am also directing a play under a lot of duress with no stage manager, no set or light designer. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Definitely not my swan song. So I am really like I don't we Dina told me what she was doing. I picked a cocktail. I have no idea why I picked this one, but Dina will tell you. But this is called the Verona cocktail, and it is 2 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of amaretto, a half an ounce of sweet vermouth, a fourth of a teaspoon of lemon juice, and you shake that all up in a shaker with ice, strain into a, pardon me, chilled old-fashioned glass full of fresh ice, large is what it says, and garnish with an orange slice. They also suggest that you maybe try to find amaretto that's not as bitter like Lazzaroni. I had whatever that stuff is that you buy in Hillbilly Land. So,
The stuff you can find, that's what I
yes,
have.
it starts with an S. Anyway, it's okay. I have botanical gin. That's all I have. And I think that makes a weird whang to it.
I have botanical gin too, but it's orange botanical. So since I didn't
Oh.
have my orange slice, I was like, well, that'll work.
Yeah. Okay. Do you like it?
It's okay. I mean, I'm gonna drink it because it's here, and I also, man. Shepherd's starting back up. Man, I am a little stressed out. It's fine. Everything is fine. That's why I'm gonna drink it because it has alcohol in it. And that's all that matters at
I
this
know.
point in my
I might make a better drink
week.
when we're done here. Like I'm like I've done my yard work. Now I want to just sit in front of the TV and watch. Oh, that Three Bodies on Netflix is weird and good. Anyway, I might finish that up today with a cocktail that's I
We
like.
watched the new Roadhouse.
Oh, how is that? Besides Jake Gyllenhaal's t chest.
He's not Patrick Swayze. It
No.
wasn't horrible. He's not Patrick Swayze, and no one should ever try to be Patrick Swayze because there was only one.
Yeah. Did you watch Wonka with Timothy?
Yeah, so I said, all right, well, you already talked about my husband, right? So I sit down, I'm like, hey, the new Wonka is just came out on HBO. He was like, put it on. And I was like, okay. He immediately starts singing, and I'm like, this is not going to go well for my husband.
Or me, thank you, because you know
And
how.
he immediately fell asleep. I watched it. It's super slow for three quarters of the way through it. And then the last quarter of it, you're like, okay, that's going to have been the whole movie,
Yeah.
is how I feel.
Yeah,
It
I'm
had nothing to do with, I don't know. I mean, like, the original is always going to be the best, right? And I thought the Johnny Depp one was better than this one.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't very good. All right. So Dina's birthday is coming up. So happy
Yeah.
birthday, Dina. I already told her I have one of her presents. I'm looking at it, but she's not getting it before the freaking weddings. So.
Yes, that's plural.
I
That
know.
is a plural. It's fine. My birthday falls on a Wednesday. That's just not nice. And I have to work that day. So I probably will do absolutely nothing for
Maybe
birthdays from
people
what
will
will
give
happen.
you stuff at
At Sammy's? No. I mean, Janet might do something
Maybe
for me,
Janet will
but.
make you a cake in a glass with some candles. Janet, if you're listening, do that.
This is gonna come out after my birthday. So she'd be like, oh shit.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well.
It's fine. It's fine. I may go watch a movie by myself. I may go take myself out for pizza and go watch the new Ghostbusters by myself. And that's fine.
Hey, we have a comment. I just found it. Let me say
Okay.
that, then you start.
Sure.
So Jill says, enjoying the show. I've moved away from the Ozarks and it's nice to hear the stories.
Oh, that's
Thanks, Jill.
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready? Can
Yeah,
we start this? All
go.
right.
Go.
So for this episode, I'm bringing us a true crime element. A few weeks ago, KY3, which if you don't live in the Ozarks or really in the Ozarks, because if you live in Southwest Missouri, KY3 is your channel, right?
Think
Because
Northwest
that's our,
Arkansas too, right?
yeah. That's our local news station, and they did a story on a cold case file. But after looking into it, I would just there was just strange enough that we, in our strangeness, should bring some attention to it. And this is the disappearance of Christine Seal. She was a 22-year-old hairstylist from, here we go, Dawn, Verona, Missouri.
Okay.
That's
I know it had something to
why.
do with Verona. I figured it was Verona, Missouri, but then I don't
And
know.
the only thing I know about Verona, Missouri is there is a huge, I mean, I think they still do it. There's a huge corn maze there. And that we have driven to, so during the day, it's like fun, sweet corn maze. And then at night, it turns into a scary one.
We
So,
need to do that. That's part of the
yeah.
reason I'm excited to come back to the Ozarks is to have somebody to do stuff with.
Do that little stuff with me too.
All right, sorry.
So I'm burping because the onion rings that I just ate are now mixing with the Verona cocktail.
Named for Verona.
Apologies. Apologies. It's a good
Isn't
thing it's not a smelly
is
cocktail.
Verona up by Nevada? Where is it? Do you know?
I've only been there once, and I want to say no, it tells us here in a minute where it's
Okay, all right.
near. Okay, it's Lawrence County.
I don't know where that is.
All right. Well, we'll look that up
I'll
on
look it
Google.
up on a
You
map.
look it up while I'm talking.
Okay.
All right. 22-year-old hairstylist from Verona, Missouri. And this story takes us back to Father's Day weekend of 1972. So on July 18th, 1972, Christine Seal, her husband Lynn, and their 2-year-old son David took a day trip to Table Rock Lake to spend the holiday with Christine's mother, father, and brother's family. Though it had been rumored that Lynn and Christine had had an argument concerning the trip and the financial struggle, their financial struggles the day before, Lynn denies this. He goes on to say that they never raised their voices to one another. To which I say, yeah, maybe, I guess if they had just like first 5 years of marriage, maybe that's true. But you get into 10, 15, 20 years of marriage, you cannot tell me you've not raised your voice to your significant other. That's a lie. Anyway, they spent the day at the lake. What?
Was gonna say, that Verona is by Aurora.
Aurora.
Bobbert, Biggle Bob would know where that is. Yeah, unless you're one of those weirdo trad wives and the guy rules the roost and he raises his voice, but you don't. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
On the morning of June 19th, 1972, oh wait, I missed a part.
Okay.
Cut, rewind. They spent the day at the lake with her family, and then on the way home, they stopped by her brother's house, and then they returned to Verona. This was the last time Christine's family would see her. On the morning of June 19th, 1972, Lynn left for work at the Calico Dairy Farms. Now, they lived on a mobile home which sat on the property with the farm. So it's not like he had to go far away. They actually lived on the farm where he worked.
Okay.
So the Calico Farms has now become the property is sitting on what is now the home of Yoder's Hardwood. So I was gonna look that up honestly on a map and see what that was, but to be honest. So he kisses his wife and son goodbye. Both are still sleeping, and he's out the door at approximately 8:30 a.m. At around 9:30 a.m., the mailman says that he sees David in the doorway crying, but he doesn't think anything of it because Christine's car is in the driveway, and he believes that the boy is sad, maybe because his mother wouldn't let him play outside. There's a million reasons, but the
Right.
mom's car, small town. What, he doesn't think anything of it. 9:45, Lynn returns with a co-worker to pick up a motorcycle to round up Cat. He finds David sitting on the kitchen floor crying all by himself. Lynn looks for Christine in and around the house. He calls neighbors, and when he does not find her, he calls his in-laws, who are still down at Table Rock Lake, to see if they have heard from Christine that morning. They had also not been in contact with her, so he then calls the Lawrence County Sheriff's Office. So we are talking 8:30 to 9:45. There was an hour and 15 minutes. She went from sleeping to no trace. Cannot be found anywhere. So even though there was nothing out of the ordinary, there was nothing knocked over, there was nothing out of place, her purse, clothes, and car were still at the home. Two Lawrence County Sheriff's deputies show up to the home. Besides looking at a pile of clothing found in the bedroom, they did nothing else. They did not wear gloves. They did not fingerprint anything. They literally told him they had no proof of a crime. Even though all her things were still present at the house, the only things missing were what she had worn to bed, which were shorty pajamas and a light robe. She didn't even have shoes on. At this point, Christine's parents, Trudy and Doyle Nickel, have arrived to the mobile home from Table Rock Lake. Trudy says that she saw the deputies do nothing, and they immediately decided that she had run off. Trudy believes that Christine would have never left David. Many neighbors, friends, and close to 500 volunteers show up to the home to search. There's nothing taped off, and any crime scene evidence is destroyed. The next day, on June 20th, the Lawrence County Sheriff arrives and accuses Lynn of contaminating the crime scene by letting the friends and neighbors search the area. There was a 2-day delay in the investigation before dogs were finally brought in. Unfortunately, the scent trail ended at the end of the driveway. So, of course, the police first look to
It's
Lynn
because she
sealed
was
it.
a woman. It's because she was a woman and nobody cares.
Yeah, especially in 1972 in rural Missouri.
Yeah.
Right. So the police look, of course, first to Lynn Seal, the husband, as a possible suspect, because that's what you do.
Right.
He agreed to and was given a lie detector test. There was not enough evidence found to charge him. 2 years after her disappearance, Lynn files for divorce, and 7 years after her disappearance, she was declared legally dead. Here are some people of interest. Lee Jennings, he was a Bible salesman who had been linked to the murder of a 27-year-old woman and her 18-month-old daughter. Later, he was convicted of that crime. The company that Jennings worked for denied that he was in the area, in the Verona area, at the time of Seal's disappearance. The second person of interest was named Winston Barnett, and he was the choir director at the Seal's church and also linked to another missing person. Though I cannot find what that link was. Like, I tried to look him up and he is nowhere. He has no footprint. It's strange. There were rumors of an affair between Winston Barnett and Christine. Lynn denies that that was true. And like I said, there's no more information on Barnett. And I did look more than just Wikipedia. I did do some searching. It's also interesting to note that the file from her case went missing. Like almost immediately, anything they had, it just disappeared. So 3 years later, another file was pieced together. That file also was misplaced until KY3 requested access to it this year. So that was 1975, went missing until 2024. There was a handkerchief and some locks of hair labeled Christine Steele inside. Nothing had been sent for testing until this year. It also included some old newspaper clippings and notes, but nothing from the original investigations because that file had disappeared.
Of
There
course.
was a sketch supposedly drawn by Doyle Nichols, Christine's father, on the day of the disappearance. Doyle denied that he had ever drawn it and stated that it was not his handwriting. There were also notes from an interview of Estelle Vaught, and she was a friend of Christine's. She denies that she was ever formally interviewed, even though the file states that she was. So, some
Weird.
good investigation by them Lawrence County deputies.
Yeah.
It should also be noted that the Sheriff's Department declined interviews for the KY3 reopening of the case. Most of the original investigators have either now retired or passed on. In the aftermath, Lynn remarried, and his second wife adopted David. They went on to have two more children of their own. Lynn still insists that his wife never would have abandoned the marriage and definitely not their son. He still blames police for failing to preserve the crime scene. And that kind of seems like the main theme. Everyone is like they did nothing. They showed up, decided she'd run off, and they were done
And that was all.
investigating.
And then that,
Yeah, and
yep.
that was it. So in 2019, the case, like I said, was reopened, but there has been no real progress. Anthropology dogs were brought in, and Lawrence County Sheriff Chris Berry had this to say about the dogs. They actually can find, according to their handlers, Indian burial sites and the prehistoric burial sites. These dogs are supposed to be able to find burials from them. So we contacted them. They came down and we spent an entire day with them. We went out to the old farm and where the old ponds were at. All of this was supposed to have taken place. And then we went to Berry County and we went to the old farm and we did the whole property there as well. It was probably a 16-hour day. We went clear up into the night. We worked all day and had the dogs. We walked, we set blinds, and looked through the fields. Barry added the dogs did hit on two locations, but nothing was located regarding Seal. The investigation into Seal's disappearance remains open, but with the amount of time that has passed, Barry said he believes the case will only come to a conclusion with a deathbed confession. That's all right. I found an article. I found two stories that weren't like newspaper clippings or the KY3 thing. So this one is from the website Medium, and it's by Verity Partington. It's called "The Disappearance of Christine Seal: A Chilling Church Sighting May Be the Only Clue." So once again, remember that the Winston Barnett, the choir guy, was linked to having an affair with Christine, and he was also linked to another missing persons case. So here's a little excerpt from that. The most concerning detail came from another man who claimed to have seen something in the aftermath of the disappearance. According to local paper, the Mexico Ledger, at this time, so it must be near Mexico, Missouri, I'd say, the man was passing through the area when he got a flat tire and stopped outside the church 2 miles northwest of Verona to change it. While he worked on his car, he heard a door slam, and as he opened the front door of the church to investigate, he saw a nude woman running out of the back door of the church. The man claimed the woman sprinted away over a ridge before he could get to her, and that he didn't see anyone else there. Although he thought the woman was Christine from the publicity, he couldn't be sure. The alleged sighting has never been substantiated. So that's interesting just because of the Winston Barnett thing. Okay, so the second story comes from a book called Missing or Murdered in Missouri by Barbara Kim Hyten, which I may have to order and read.
No kidding.
This book had a story worth noting, and I not it was again one of nothing I've read in either the KY3 articles or any of the newspaper clippings. And it concerns a medium's reading. So I'm going to go to that book and read that excerpt really
It
quickly.
concerns a what?
A medium's reading.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Trudy, who is Christine's mother, and this is where I'm going to start in this book right now. Trudy is a stoic woman. She is convicted in her own beliefs and today is a cancer survivor and her husband as well. Now, this is an older book because unfortunately her Christine's father has passed now. She was a skeptic as far as psychics go, but it appears as though the case is remaining unsolved. Psychic detective and medium Judy Price has offered her services to any family in crisis without a fee and has been contacted by the mother of Carol Blaze, who was another missing one. So on October 1st, 2005, Judy contacted Trudy Neal. The reading, without any prior information at Judy's request, is as follows, except for the names or descriptions of any suspects. Those will be given to retired Detective Dave Tatum, who had been the lead investigator on the case in the beginning. That dude did nothing.
Yeah.
The reading is as follows. Your daughter had light-colored hair. Now, Christine was this, I'm adding this. This is a side note here. Christine was a brunette, but right before disappeared. She was a hairstylist, remember? She had frosted her hair,
Oh.
so her hair did seem blonde.
Okay.
All right, your daughter had light-colored hair, and it says Christina frosted her hair and was mistakenly identified as a blonde. She did not live with her parents, and she was in her 20s. This event happened in the early to mid-70s. When she was abducted, she was unconscious. Conscious. She knew one man, but the other only knew of him. This one took her from the residence. He was a bum and on drugs. After she was killed, he took her body to the Texas-Arkansas border town of Texarkana. She was placed by a stream. She was seeing sunshine through the leaves by the water. She left her body within 24 hours of being taken. They will not find her remains, and one person may confess on his deathbed. But no one will hear him.
Oh.
Judy assured Trudy that her daughter was at peace. The Christine energy, according to the psychic, tried to explain to her mother that there were lessons for a lot of people that she facilitated through this experience. She also said that she would see her parents again. On the brighter side, Judy told Trudy a little girl was coming to fill her heart. The medium told her that the letter J was very strong around her. And Trudy's great grandson, this is David's son. His name is Jack. So that's kind of interesting. Trudy and I have discussed the reading, and she's very savvy about culpability. And unless someone chooses to confess or a body is found, any person or persons involved will remain free. She has decided to reserve judgment to see if the little girl enters her life. She did say that she was startled by the strong perception of the J letters, since Jack is their much adored great grandson. So, I mean, there's a little bit more to that, but that's about all of it there. So, like I said, Doyle Nichols died in 2019 before finding out what happened to his daughter. Trudy Nichols is still alive and wonders where Christine is. David Nichols lives in Georgia with his family and close to his father. Lynn had a car accident last year, and he has trouble remembering things, and he fights awful headaches. David has come to terms with the realization that he might not get answers in this lifetime.
Thing.
That's it. That's the story of Christine Seal, and it does drive me crazy. I got no answers. I hate that. I
Yeah.
hate that the father died without knowing anything. I hate that the mother's gonna die. I hate that little boy never knew his mom.
All that, well, maybe he'll find, yeah. I don't know.
Which
If the
his.
father died, I guess he maybe does know something now, but I mean, you know.
Well, and so David would be, if he was born in 1970. So he would be, what is that, 54?
Yeah.
So he would be 54 years old now and didn't know her as a mother because he was only two. So he
Well,
knew his stepmom.
how weird.
Anyway.
How weird. So TV messes with us so much because we see people getting on the case and blah, but they don't. I mean, unless you're somebody prominent, Typically a white man, you can forget it. I mean, you know, sad.
Yes, I agree. I've been sitting here long enough now that my entire nose has clogged up and I cannot breathe through either nostril.
You don't sound like it.
Oh, good.
Mouth breather, just
I
breathe
am.
through your
I
mouth.
have mouth breathing.
Well, that was good and frustrating, is what I
Yes.
would say. All right.
It is. I agree.
Yeah. Thanks. That was good and frustrating. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Cassville. It's close to Cassville. I didn't see that, but it's in my notes. I didn't talk about it, but it is.
Aurora, it's like directly east from Aurora is what.
Yeah, I'm just gonna look up where Yoder's Hardwood was, just because I like to say Yoder.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Dina. That was good and frustrating. And thank you all for listening. We will be back, we hope, with a couple of weeks with another episode, which is mine. And I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'll find something between now and then. So thanks again for listening. Leave us all the stars. If you're listening to us, subscribe. Again, if you're so moved, please give us a few bucks to help us break even more. And visit us on social media and our website. If you don't know about our website, we do post links and pictures and all kinds of stuff. We release on the 1st and 15th. And I guess that's goodbye. So say goodbye.
Right.
You know what? I saw your mouth move and nothing came out.
Goodbye.
And remember,
if you liked it, tell all your friends.
But if you didn't,
keep your big mouth shut.